You're listening to Things You Should Know, and I'm your host, Andy Ngo. In this special episode courtesy of The Ben Shapiro Show, I've been given permission to republish my interview with Ben from the 2nd of April 2019. We discuss a major story I wrote that was published earlier in the week in the New York Post. If you're listening to an audio-only version of this, I highly recommend that you also watch the video on YouTube. I provide images and photos to document my investigation into Portland's rash of mysterious hate crimes.
Andy Ngo is a Portland-based journalist. He's an editor with Quillette magazine. He has a really brave, fascinating piece in the New York Post all about a spate of hate crimes that aren't over in the city of Portland. Andy joins us on the line right now. Andy, thanks so much for joining the Ben Shapiro Show again.
It's a pleasure to speak with you once again. Thanks for having me on.
So, Andy, you've done some deep dives into a lot of the allegations made about hate crimes in Portland. What you found is pretty disturbing. Maybe you can tell us the story of what were these supposed hate crimes and what happened when you looked into them.
Yeah, so the city of Portland had a bit of its own series of Jussie Smollett-like allegations. So in February, there was a shocking story that went viral on GoFundMe. There was a trans activist who was allegedly beat unconscious with a bat by right-wing assailants. Now, days after that, another woman came forward on social media and said that her partner had been confronted randomly in Southeast Portland by people in a car who pulled over, called her a homophobic slur, and threw a can of beer so hard at her face that she fell down and was bloodied. These stories went viral locally, and then from there, two stories spawned to 5, 7, 10, and eventually 15 allegations of random brutal beatings, attempted killings. Even one person alleged that their friend had almost been kidnapped. They were horrific stories. They spawned a panic. The mayor brought attention to this. Even the car company Lyft, they issued an advertisement warning people about remaining safe and they should use Lyft in order to get around. People sent out alerts and messages warning the queer community to carry mace and to go around in groups.
I didn't mention this in my interview with Ben, but it's important to note that activists blamed innocent people for the alleged attacks. They doxed men they accused of being right-wingers or Proud Boys, releasing their names, addresses, and photos online. They posted flyers all over the city warning people about these men. All of them that I spoke to categorically deny having any involvement and encourage victims to go to the police. One of the men who says he was falsely accused is Robert Zerfing. He started receiving death threats every day because he used to have a maroon car and was photographed at a conservative rally. Jenny Brusso alleged in her social media post that her partner's attackers drove a maroon-colored car. Mr. Zapfing showed me documentation that his vehicle was repossessed more than 3 months ago. Now back to my interview with Ben.
As this was happening, just as the Jussie Smollett story has fallen apart, and naturally I'm a skeptic of many things, and for your viewers who may not be familiar with Portland, we are a very, very progressive city. Some of your viewers may have seen footage of Antifa basically taking over some of our streets in downtown with impunity. And so we're an extremely gay-friendly city. So to hear that there were these marauding right-wing gangs going around with bats, with hammers, with wooden planks, beating people, trying to kill them, I was shocked. And I could find little to no corroborating evidence. So that was the first flag to me. So what I did was I initiated some public records requests. And I found that out of the 15 allegations, only one was reported to police. And the details in that police investigation are entirely different than what was claimed in the GoFundMe. In the GoFundMe, it said that she was walking late at night and these people had to come up and beat her unconscious on the head with the bat, that she had to go to the hospital. Well, in the police report, they found that she was so intoxicated she could not or would not even say her name. When she got to the hospital, she says that she thinks she was assaulted, but she doesn't know or remember what happened. It was only the day after that the fundraising campaign mentioned all these details, which were never reported to police, by the way, and it was very successful. Over $10,000 was raised within days. When I reached out to all these alleged victims, I was ignored, then I was blocked, which is another flag. So my story is just, people were maybe hoping that this would just go away in the weeks since, but I'm determined to just shine a light on what's happening here. And this is not the first panic that Portland has had. We've had several others in the past, and people don't seem to learn their lessons.
Well, we're speaking with Andy Ngo. He's a Portland-based journalist and editor with Quillette Magazine. He's been brave enough to actually check out the stories of supposed hate crimes taking place in Portland. Andy, obviously, federal statistics show that there are a huge number of hate crimes that are reported. Very few are actually prosecuted. And it does make you wonder how many of these are substantiated with evidence, because many of the cases you're talking about, people claim online that some crime has been committed, and then nobody even reported it to the police. This happened in more than one incident that was reported that you covered, where you went to the police, you said, has this been reported? They said, we've never heard of anything like this.
Yeah, the police actually pled with the public to please come and report this. We take this seriously. And the Antifa presence here is very anti-police, but our mayor, who doubles as a police commissioner, is extremely sympathetic to these issues. And I have seen no evidence that the police would be systematically biased against not believing victims. And actually, one of the second person who went on social media and said her partner was beat and knocked down with the beer can, I actually looked at the police report into that. That couple never reached out to police. Police actually reached out to them multiple times within days, kept calling, leaving messages, please call us back. And they never did. So the case was suspended because there was no cooperation.
Well, Andy, you know, one of the things that has been claimed by so many people who are speaking constantly about hate crimes, hoaxes, and defending folks like Jussie Smollett is the quote-unquote raising awareness argument, that when you suggest that a hate crime has been committed and then you don't report it to the police, at least you're raising awareness. And then we hear the argument very often that the police don't take hate crime seriously enough. It seems to me that this is a two-pronged approach that is likely to generate an enormous number of hoax cases, that if you tell people that you shouldn't report things to the police because they won't take it seriously, and also there's social media reward to be had in telling a story, you're going to end up with an enormous number of unverifiable situations that are being reported as fact by the media and by other people.
Yes, community leaders in Portland were extremely irresponsible in how they handled this. So the Q Center, which is the main LGBT advocacy organization in the city, they held an emergency town hall and 500 people came on a Sunday night, which is pretty hard to do in Portland. And there was supposed to be snow that night, but people came, they were afraid. And one of the first things that the executive director said in this meeting was that we are not in contact with the Portland Police Bureau. And the people cheered and clapped and whooped. The Q Center passed up flyers for how people could report anonymously to activist organizations about assaults. When I reached out to one of these main organizations, Portland United Against Hate, I asked them, what mechanisms do you have in place to vet and verify anonymous allegations? They stopped responding to me.
Amazing, amazing. Well, Andy Ngo, doing really good work here. Final question for you here, Andy. When it comes to the Jussie Smollett case, which I know you've been following closely, what do you make of the Chicago district attorney's or state's attorney's decision not to prosecute in that case? Will there be any follow-up from the police on any of these hate crime hoaxes, what appear to be hate crime hoaxes? I mean, what is the best way for law enforcement to deal with situations like this so that we stop incentivizing people to make false reports?
The way that concluded was so, seems so dirty. And if the media reports are accurate, I really hope that the FBI is looking into how this played out in the end. As it's well known now, FOIA releases of Kim Fox's communications with Jussie Smollett's friend, Ms. Chen, who was a former employee for Michelle Obama. Kim Fox communicated with her, as well as with a unnamed family member of Smollett. And she did not formally recuse herself from the office, so she was either misrepresented her what happened to the media or was dishonest. I stand by the police in what they found. We are very lucky that we even got the police reports that were released that morning, and then a court order was quickly revised to prohibit the police from releasing any more evidence to the public. I hope that the FBI is looking into this, because it seems like the politics of Chicago is not allowing justice to play out.
Well, Andy, thanks so much for doing what you're doing. It really is brave, and you've taken enormous amounts of abuse for it from many people, particularly on Twitter, including the people who you've asked for answers on this stuff, who are now fibbing about your exchanges. So thanks for doing the work a lot of mainstream media journalists won't do, and actually following up on accusations without simply just reporting them as alleged. Andy Ngo, he's a Portland-based journalist, editor with Quillette. Andy, how can people support you?
Please check out my work on, I think Twitter is where you can find my most frequent posts. That my Twitter handle is Mr. Andy NGO. I also have a Patreon and Subscribestar, and crowdsourcing support has been really helpful for me.
Well, Andy, give him your support, folks. He's really worthwhile supporting. Andy, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.